All right, what's up, Aggie Radio? You're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on 92.3 KBLU.
Yeah, we're excited this week. We've got some really interesting information. I'm back from my little trip, and I enjoyed listening to the NFL information last week. I was kind of disappointed. I sent Alex some texts while he was doing the broadcast about how they were really weren't respecting Aaron Rodgers as much as they should have. And I was very hurt by that, but he never responded back to him, so I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of checking my text while on air, but we can talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit later.
Oh, we will.
Because I have a few things to say about that. But anyways, first topic.
So, recently there's been a couple of missteps by some college football teams, and it's really ironic. The first one that it looks like really came out was the University of Colorado, the Buffaloes, the Pac-12 team. On their official offer, they misspelled the word officially. How do you misspell the word officially on your official offer? You're a Pac-12 program. You're supposedly a big school. Yeah, you're probably the worst Pac-12 program, but you're still, like, you can't just say, oh, sorry, we forgot to check for it. Like, it's officially. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
How did they misspell it? Do you know?
Yeah. They forgot the I in part of it. So it was like, Ofi Cali is like what it really looked like. It was like, it was ridiculous.
I was gonna say, I can understand like accidentally putting like an extra F or not as many C's or whatever, but you still got to spell check on an official offer. Like, you're sending these out to players like, representing your school, like, hey, come to our school instead of another school where we can't even spell officially right.
Well, and one of the funny things is the first school that really came out to criticize them was their rival. It's Colorado State. But then all of a sudden, it comes out that Colorado State, on their official offers, found a way to be worse than Colorado. Or they misspelled the word Colorado. How do you misspell the word Colorado when you are Colorado State? That is a joke. It's Colorado. It's the state you live in. It's the name of your school. I mean, they spelled it, they put an A in between the D and the O, so it was Coloradeo.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to Coloradeo State.
Yeah, I hear it's a great school, those Rams in Coloradeo. I think for all of us here at Utah State, we need to make sure to bookmark this. We do play Colorado State this year.
We play Colorado State.
Colorado State. Sorry, I pronounced it. It's my accent. Okay. It's the Utah accent. We say it like Colorado. I know it's spelled like Colorado.
Right.
But I think we need to make sure to bookmark this. Let's make some fun signs, fun tweets, stuff like that. But the problem is, then all of a sudden it comes out about Utah State. And I just don't understand how this happens. This one I think is a little bit more realistic. I mean, it's worse. It's definitely worse.
Right.
But I at least can understand how this happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's more excusable in that sense.
So Utah State, Coach Cotto, he did the unthinkable, and he sent a text to a player that they had been recruiting, but sadly that was not the player he meant to text. And the problem is the text was the letter, was the official offer. So he gives an official offer, he has a picture of the official letter that's going out with the comment saying, we're mailing this out today, we just wanted to let you and your family know you got your official offer. So the kid's sitting there at home, probably gets the text, probably turns to his parents, says, Mom, Dad, I just got an offer from Utah State. That's so cool. This is awesome. Then all of a sudden he gets a follow-up text that says, sorry, that wasn't for you. I thought the first comment on it was pretty funny. They said, it looks like Utah State has hired Steve Harvey as their lead recruiting.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Coordinator. Because, yeah, the lead comment that the coach replied with was, I'm so sorry that I sent this out to you. We have a linebacker in California that has the same name. We will continue to follow you this season and evaluate your progress. Please accept my sincere apologies.
So it looks like he's still playing this year, so he wasn't, like, looking to go to college this upcoming year. It looks, I'm guessing he's a player that's still in high school.
Yeah, he probably was a senior.
So, I mean, he still might get an offer next year, even if it's a pity offer. Like, we're so sorry for last year. Here's an offer this year.
Yeah.
And then doesn't see any time playing, but...
My thing is, if I'm that player, I don't accept that offer.
Yeah, I don't want to go to school that Steve Harvey'd me with my offer.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yes, that's one person making a mistake on who you send a text to. Yes, that's a terrible, terrible mistake. But that one I can at least see and say, okay, somebody made a mistake. But with the ones from Colorado and Colorado State, you just look at it and you go, how many people do these official letters go by? I mean, you'd think that it wouldn't just be a, hey, coach, type up a letter, send it out. I mean, this looks nice. It has design. It has, you know, it looks good.
It was probably someone's specific job to do this. This wasn't a coach. This was somebody who, it could be a student of graphic design or something, but it was somebody whose job it was specifically just to do this pamphlet.
I want to see that student who designed this specific letter put it on his resume, like, in a couple of years. Like, oh, I designed Colorado's letter of...
Colorado's
official offers. See, and then the question is, if Colorado State, if that's how it's spelled, then Colorado spelled two different words on theirs wrong. They spelled the name of their state, so one of them got it wrong. I don't know which one it was.
We'll confirm for you next week the real way to spell Colorado.
We're going to do some research on it. It could take hours. I mean, this is really going to be tough. But, I mean, either way, it's kind of... It's a joke. And I feel like, you know, both of them are Mountain West. You have two Mountain West. You have a Pac-12. And I think it just looks terrible on the conference. It looks terrible on the area. And, I mean, obviously a BYU fan was the first one to jump on it and say, hey, look at this mistake for Utah State. And rightfully so. I mean, I know that if BYU would have made that mistake, I would have been all over it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would have been texting my friends who were going to BYU and said, hey, guys. But, I mean, it makes sense. But it's just absolutely ridiculous that would happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are crazy. Now what we want to talk about a little bit more is what we've got going on this week with the Olympics. Basically, I'm excited for the Olympics. I think the Summer Olympics are awesome. But I just, it's fallen apart. The Olympics, I just don't, especially in Brazil, it's been a complete mess. I can't think of a single thing that people have said, well, this happened in preparation for Brazil, and that's the redeeming factor. Like, the only, like, redeeming factor is, well, they still have the games?
Even though a lot of the top athletes have dropped out because of worries with Zika virus... You know, any other bacteria that's in the water.
Yeah, if you're in a place where the people, the athletes are told, please don't put your head underwater, you know that's a bad place to be.
Especially if you're a swimmer going to this, you're like, maybe I just shouldn't go.
Yeah, because, like, I understand the swimming pools should be okay, but, I mean, the boating people, they've told the boaters, don't put your head underwater. My thing is, like, yeah, obviously they shouldn't get in the water. Like, that's not the idea of boating. You're not like, oh, I'm losing, I'm just going to jump out and swim to victory. But what happens if something, you crash, something happens?
You get trapped under a boat.
Yeah, you get trapped under a... See, my thing is, if they're trapped under that boat, I think their real fear isn't drowning. It's being in that water.
What am I drinking right now? How quickly is this going to kill me?
Can it absorb through my skin? What's going on? Yeah, I think it's a complete mess. I mean, the fact that with their stadiums, everything was a joke, building everything, financially nothing was there.
Well, the fact that it came out this week that Olympic Village is still only half complete?
Yeah. How do you have this half complete?
Right.
I mean, I understand people talked about how, you know, well, they did well with the World Cup. Okay, they did okay with the World Cup.
Well, and that's such a, like, smaller scale. Oh, yeah. It's like, I think it was like
It's 32 teams of 23 players that play in 12 different stadiums. Yes, that's a good-sized event. And yes, you have a lot of tourists coming in, and you have to take care of that. But the Olympics? That's 10,000 athletes.
How many different categories are they? Yeah, it's... And the fact that Russia still has teams going to this event is what really makes me angry. Like, the fact that their whole track and field team was caught doping, and they're like, yeah, but we can't be sure that these other teams were doping, even though, you know, the whole country of Russia, the Russian Olympic Committee, all of these things were helping them cheat. We don't have physical proof that they were cheating, so we probably should just let them play.
Yeah, I think it's a joke. I feel like the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, the way they treated this whole situation was terrible. I mean, honestly, we had this discussion last night as we were talking about what we were going to talk about. And, I mean, the idea that, you know, this is basically like a head coach that knows that the offense was doing steroids, had to do with the fact that the offense was doing steroids.
Probably helping them get the steroids, hide the fact that they were taking steroids, fake their tests so that it wouldn't show that they were taking steroids.
But then all of a sudden he goes, oh no, but the defense is fine. The special teams is fine. There's been no issues here. Mm. It's a joke. I mean, I don't understand how you don't at least sit there and go, yeah, we probably should just kind of kick them out. So one thing I think is ridiculous is the Olympic Committee has said, the International Olympic Committee, their final ruling, their official ruling on who will be banned is not likely to come out until a couple of hours before the opening ceremony.
Oh, geez.
If that's not a poorly run organization, if that's not something that shouldn't happen, I mean, that should have been out now. I mean, that's on Friday. Friday, this all starts. We should already know what's going on. There's basically people, there's Russian athletes that are sitting there in Russia going, my band? Am I going to play? Did I just make this trip over here for nothing?
Yeah, the only redeeming quality I will give them of this ban is they did ban anybody that in Russia that's ever been caught doping before.
Yeah.
Because their thought is, well, if you were doping before, and this whole team is doping, and your whole country is probably doping, we have good enough proof to ban you for doping. Mm-hmm. But even then, well, and the thing with that one, though, is they also banned, like, the biggest whistleblower from the track and field because previously she had an issue with doping.
Yeah, she had a 2-year ban for doping that got over in 2015.
Right. And now that she's come out against it because she had that ban, she will not be in the Rio Games.
So I have a little list that goes over some of the official committees and federations that are deciding, because that's what the International Olympic Committee said. They said, you know, we don't really like being the ones to make the call. We're going to make it so all of these little committees of each of their sports are the ones who decide. And I can see that, you know. But the thing is, they're still making their decisions. I thought it was really funny because I was looking at this list and it talks of how many Russians are on each part. And so it talks about, you know, the International Tennis Federation, World Archery, cycling, swimming, gymnastics, boxing. But one of them I thought was really funny is that the International Table Tennis Federation has yet to have made their official stance. And I'm like, can you even dope for table tennis?
Well, I'm sure you can, but I would actually think it's like detrimental to dope because too much power, you need more grace than power.
You just, every single time you hit the ball explodes. Yeah. These Russians are just furious, like, I break ball. Like, it's not going to be a good thing.
Right, so the only team that we are okay with going to the Rio Games is their table tennis team.
Yeah, I mean, it's three Russians.
But I would love to see these Russians who we know are probably doping play and just smash ball after ball.
Yeah, I mean, if they were to change the rules and say, all of your athletes that have been caught doping, they're not banned. They can just only play table tennis.
That would be the only event for the whole Olympics I'd ever watch. Because I'm not a huge fan of the Olympics. I've never... I mean, they're exciting, but
I just, I'll watch if the U.S. is competing for a medal. If they're not in the medal round, I don't watch. I don't really care too much.
I usually watch highlights afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I watched when Michael Phelps would do his in Beijing, and that was super entertaining.
Yeah, that was super exciting. But I definitely didn't watch all, like, 20 medals he won or whatever. But
yeah, that's true. I remember I was watching the one where he won by a fingertip, and it was the coolest thing, and everyone loved it. And it was really exciting. But the thing is, there was a story there.
Right.
The story going into the Olympics was, can Michael Phelps break the record for most gold medals won in an Olympics? The story for this Olympics is a mess. There's no, like, hey, like, let's see who can do something. It's just like,
who's not going to die this year? Who will make it out without any diseases?
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah. I think it'd be hilarious if they come out and they give a gold medal to whatever Olympic team gets the least amount of diseases per, like, capita.
Right.
So they're like, well, I mean, Russia had 300 athletes, and only 100 of them got sick, whereas the U.S. took 500 athletes, and 200 of them got sick. So Russia gets the gold. And you're just like, okay, that is a thing.
I would probably listen to the, like, awarding of the medal for that one.
Yeah, that'd be so funny.
Drop whatever I'm going to do so that I can listen to them talk about that.
Talk about, yeah, so they only, so the U.S. had 35 people get Zika virus, 150 who accidentally went underwater, and then a couple other ones got bit by rats. And, I mean, it just was a mess. I don't know. The Olympics have been a mess. One of the things is, I just don't see the Olympics surviving long term.
Right.
One of the biggest reasons is that terrorism is a huge issue right now. I mean, in Brazil, yeah, it hasn't. What's crazy is that hasn't even been one of the things we've talked about. Terrorism has been rampant across the world. And you're telling me the Olympics isn't going to be a huge target? It's going to be a mess. And I feel like as time goes on, it's just going to keep getting worse. And because of that, I don't know if we keep having the Olympics. I don't know if 40 years from now, we still have the Olympics, because basically it just turns into a, hey, let's put everyone together so that we can be a even bigger target.
Right.
And I think that's terrible. I think the Olympics are a good thing, but I think the way that things are being handled, the way the IOC is doing everything, is a joke.
Yeah, yeah, there's so many issues with the Olympics in Rio this year. Like, the fact that things aren't getting finished built a week before the Olympics are supposed to start. The fact that it's disease-ridden. There's so much political unrest in Brazil right now. It's not a safe place to be by any means. So how they're going to keep these Olympics safe, I have no clue.
Yeah, I'm absolutely amazed. I think I was listening to Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports. He's one of my favorite people to listen to. I think he's very entertaining. Of a lot of the people on sports, I think he's one of the more level-headed people. But I just think, you know, he was talking about how he doesn't think the Olympics last 40 years. And, you know, when I first heard it, I thought, wow, how can the Olympics not last? But then he kept bringing up these reasons and about how, you know, the Olympic Committee is doing all of this junk, and about how it's just been a complete joke, especially with all of this and with how, you know, they won't step in for Russia. Brazil's been a joke. Everything's been terrible. And you just think, well, yeah, that's true. Like, I don't know how long that lasts.
Right.
But one solution that he came up with and talked about, and I agree with this one, we need to stop having it somewhere new every single time. It's not a good preparation. We're having, and like, I understand Brazil, the reason they had it was part of their presentation was they put up a map of the world and they put a light where every single Olympics has been held. And there was not a single light on South America. And people went, oh, wow, South America never had the Olympics? That's kind of crazy. We should give it to South America. And it works. It makes sense. But then all of a sudden you look at it and you go, well, maybe there was a reason it didn't go to South America. It wasn't prepared. And Brazil, you'd think, should be. They're a pretty big country, but recently, if today they had the vote for 20 years down the road, they wouldn't give it to him.
You know, I think when they were picked, it was a fine pick. But yeah. I think even a year ago, they should have been like, okay, well, with all this Zika virus stuff coming out, mm-hmm. how bad it is, maybe we should look somewhere else. And while a year isn't a whole lot to give preparation,
it's nothing.
Yeah, but you give the U.S. a year, you give probably London a year, you maybe give Australia a year, mm-hmm. and they could be ready to host these games, and you wouldn't have to worry about Zika. Yeah. You wouldn't have to worry about all these as much danger. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's been an absolute mess. That's one of the things that he brought up is those three cities of they could host an Olympics every four years. It's those three. It's a four team rotation, essentially, is what you could call it. You have the U.S., you have London, you have Sydney, and then every fourth Olympics is the new guy. You could have Tokyo, you could have Shanghai, you could have South Africa, you could have Brazil, you could have Mexico, you could have, you know, anywhere where you want to rotate it, and you can make it good. It gives them time to prepare. It makes it so their preparation and their stance is a lot stronger. Because, I mean, if not, it's just kind of like, well, oh well.
Well, and the thing is if we have the Olympics in these three cities every 4 years and then the fourth is somewhere random, if that random place all of it turns into this Brazil situation, these other three cities are already ready mm-hmm. to take on the Olympics. They already have stadiums built. They already have accommodations ready.
Yep.
And so it wouldn't be as big of a deal if all of a sudden 6 months or a year before the Olympics you see Brazil and you're like, oh no, what do? Oh, we just move it to one of these other three cities.
See, my thing is 6 months to a year is too early or too late. Sorry. At that point, you're committed. You're where you're at.
Okay, fine.
Because my thing is, I think it's just so tough to sit here and go, oh yeah, this is what we want. I mean, at that point, people have their hotels, they have their flights, they have their tickets, they have everything, and to pull that from underneath, not even just the people who have already bought everything, but that economy,
right,
would be just to pull the rug under their feet. I think 2 years is probably the absolute closest that you could get. Mm-hmm. I think 4 years is where probably that decision needs to be made. I think any closer than 2 years, really any closer than four, but I understand emergency pops up, you look at it and go, well, this is a bad idea. It doesn't work. Because the part of it is, say Brazil spends these millions of dollars to build these stadiums, and then 2 years before, these stadiums are halfway built, and you go, never mind. All their money just went away, and everything's destroyed. Like, they won't ever finish these buildings. It creates these huge messes for their economy. It just wouldn't work. 4 years, yeah, you're still going to have a lot of unfinished stuff, but that's a lot of money they'd save. Because 6 months, it's too late. They've already got everything supposedly built. But now, I mean, Brazil is proving me wrong by saying, hey, we can make sure that we even have buildings that aren't finished the week of the Olympics.
Right.
And that's when you go, so what were you doing that whole time? It's a complete mess.
Well, and I mean, 6 months to a year, I was maybe not, Brazil isn't a great example because it's not that far gone. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if in an emergency situation where all of a sudden this country is like war torn, it's, you know, whatever, Al Qaeda is running the country, whatever, mm-hmm. 6 months to a year, yes, you're going to mess with a bunch of people, but you won't have to worry about safety.
It's true.
As much. And I think at the end of the day, if you tell somebody, hey, yeah, unfortunately, that hotel, we're not, you're going to lose that money, but you won't have to worry about getting killed, they it's might true. Make that trade. Especially if, you know, so if they got somebody like an official Olympic sponsor who could help accommodate at least some of these people.
That's true. I can see that.
And that's where the 6 months to a year came from. Not that, like, oh.
The absolute last pull-out moment.
Yeah. South Africa, there's a little bit of angry people. No, of course you're not going to end it. Or there's a little disease. No. But in emergency situations, you still have somebody 6 months to a year who's ready to accommodate you. So.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's fair. One thing that I didn't know about until today when I was doing a little bit of research on it, with Greece in 2004, the Olympic Committee actually said, if you don't get your business in line by 6 months before the Olympics, we'll look at moving it.
Right.
Greece didn't get their stuff in line, and it still was in Greece.
They probably looked at it and like, eh.
Yeah, they probably looked at it. 6 months isn't enough time.
Yeah, so cost-benefit analysis, they would be out of money. Greece would have been in a much worse state. We already see it. In the future, we can see how well Brazil, or not Brazil, how well Greece's economy went shortly after the Olympics. So, but yeah.
It was a complete mess. But I do think, I think the idea of having a rotating site is a great idea. I think have it, I mean, you could even just say the U.S., maybe not even L.A.
Right.
Just say U.S., you could say Europe, L.A., or like U.S., and then you could even say it rotates between Tokyo, or like Japan, China, and Australia. You could have it rotate between those three. They could be fairly ready.
Well, and I mean, if they know they're going to have to do it again in 12 years,
yeah,
I'm sure, that, or 16 or 20 or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be willing to make these bigger stadiums and keep them up and find a use for them somehow.
Yeah. But I mean, it comes up with my thought that I think, and I know that the world wouldn't want this in a way, I think that the World Cup should be held in the U.S. way more frequently. We don't even have to build a stadium. We can just use college football stadiums. We can use NFL stadiums. And they're way bigger than anyone else's stadiums. And it makes it so exciting. I think having 140,000 people watching a soccer game is extremely exciting. I think it's something that people want to see. And first of all, we're not wasting money on it. Brazil wasted money on stadiums in cities where they didn't even have a semi-professional soccer team. What are you going to do there? Those stadiums have literally sat there. They've become bus station parking lots. That's much more than a $1 million bus station parking lot. The U.S., we can do it without any issues.
Here's the thing, though. It's not only that people wouldn't want that, it's that FIFA wouldn't want that. And I could talk for hours on how corrupt FIFA is, and until we fix the corruption in FIFA, we're going to still look at World Cups in, like, Qatar, where one person a day is dying building these stadiums.
Yeah, and so, they're probably going to have to move it to December because it's too hot in the summer in Qatar for people to be outside. Yeah. It's a complete mess. It's absolutely a joke. And, yeah, I think the Olympic Committee, in a way, is probably just as corrupt. They said they've looked back and they realized that past athletes that have won medals have been found doping, and they haven't done much. I think it comes down to the fact that part of the reason the Russian team isn't completely banned is, well, there's probably a lot of corruption within. I think Russia probably said, oh, hey, you know all that money we gave you to have the Olympics in Sochi? Yeah, here's that. Here's some money as well so that we can keep kind of the other athletes in it. Because only about 25% of the Russian athletes have been banned.
Right.
They have about 300 athletes that are still going. That's kind of crazy. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of move along. We have our heat of the week this week. It's a topic that anyone who listened last week would know Alex is very passionate about with NFL football. I love the NFL. Alex is a better follower than I am, but we definitely both have pretty strong opinions on the NFL.
I like the NBA. I like college football. I love the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the opposite. Not too much. I love college football. I like NFL. I like the NBA, but I love college football. So that's kind of where we have a little bit of differing opinions on there, but that's fine.
Right. So we're looking at NFL projections for this upcoming year. I think we're going to start with what team we think that did well last year is going to drop.
Okay.
And so my team is actually going to be the Carolina Panthers. I still think they're going to be a playoff team next year, but there's no way they're even close to 15-1. I think they'll end up close to 10-6 or 11-5. And it's not even that I think that they aren't going to be as good next year, but I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be really good next year. I think Jameis Winston's going to get the flow going and get his offense going. Okay. I'm super high on Atlanta. I think Atlanta's going to do really good next year.
Okay.
And so they're not going to do as well as they did last year.
See, here's my thing. They still have Cam Newton. They still have one of the best players in the league, and Cam Newton does a great job creating on his own. Yes, they lost Josh Norman, and that's big, but I just think as a team, they still are going to look really, really good. And, yeah, I don't think they're in the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't really call them a team that would drop off. I think they're a team that doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, but that's not a I think they'd probably make it to the second round of the playoffs. I think that's fair. And I think no one will look at that and say, wow, what a drop-off for the Panthers.
I mean, look at last year where they looked unstoppable in the regular season, only losing one game, which everyone's like, oh, it was a fluke. They shouldn't have lost that game.
Okay.
I think next year they're going to look strong. Cam Newton is an amazing athlete.
Okay.
And he's getting Kelvin Benjamin back.
Yeah,
so that's he'll big. Look just as dominant.
Yeah.
But I think, one, his division is getting stronger. And two, I don't think they put in that miracle season they have next year. They end around 11-5. They win their division, get that I have them losing the first game in the playoffs, probably. Maybe okay. their second. Maybe winning one, depending on how the matchup is.
Okay.
But
it's fair. I haven't had a chance to look at their schedule too much to know schedule-wise or, like, record-wise where I see them landing. And obviously, I don't think they go 15-1.
Right.
I think 11-5 might be a little low. It kind of depends on the schedule. But I'd probably put them around 12 wins, so it's not too different from where I'd say. But
okay.
Yeah, I just don't see it. My thing is, I think the biggest drop-off is the team they played in the Super Bowl. I think the Broncos are going to fall apart next year. First of all, they lost Malik Jackson. He was a very important part of their defense.
Right.
Von Miller's still in contract negotiation. He's not?
He signed last week.
He signed last week?
Huge
deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Von Miller's there. That's big. But I think losing Jackson, I think losing overall the aspect of it, they don't have a quarterback, really. They've got issues there. Yeah, Peyton wasn't really a great quarterback, but I just don't see the Broncos.
It's better than not. They still don't know who they are. They lost not only their starting quarterback for last year, but they lost Brock Osweiler, who you may not be the biggest Brock Osweiler fan, but he did some work. He won them a few games that they probably wouldn't have won if they had Trevor Slyman or whoever their third string quarterback is. And yeah, we still have no clue who their starting quarterback is. And while that's not new in the league, there's a few other teams, we don't even know who is in contention for their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's a mess. I heard a discussion. There's two different people that they brought up to be their quarterback. I find very entertaining both options. One of them is, the look you're giving me makes me think you already know who it is. Who do you think it is?
I'm guessing you're going to bring up Nick Foles.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, never mind.
The one I brought up was, they said, you know, when he had a chance to be the Broncos quarterback, oh, boy, did he look good. He put him on a six-game winning streak. He took him to the playoffs. He won a playoff game with him. He looked good. Who is it? It's Tim Tebow.
I love Tim Tebow. I honestly want Tim Tebow back in the league. I loved Tim Tebow. Yes, he's obnoxious with his little, you know, Tebowing. But I think he's a good player, and if he would have been given if he hadn't gotten to the Broncos with Peyton Manning, he probably would have gotten a better shot.
Yeah.
And so
I don't know. I think the Tebow might fit well this year. He makes the team exciting. Part of the problem with Tebow is when you get Tebow, you don't just get a player. You bring the whole circus to town. You're the center of attention for everybody. Everybody has to have a discussion about what Tim Tebow does, about how Tim Tebow plays, about where he is, what he's doing. Is he throwing? Is he running? Is he wildcat? And the thing is, for a lot of teams, it's just not worth it. You want a quarterback that does well, but you don't want to be have a situation where you're scrutinized every play for if Tim Tebow's playing. It brings a sort of negative era. It detracts from everything else that's going on your team, and it can be a mess. That's why I don't think Tim Tebow's... I think there are certain teams that, yeah, picking up Tim Tebow wouldn't be a bad thing. You probably could do with a little bit more press coverage. But I think the Broncos isn't that team. If he was to go to Jacksonville Jaguars, I think that's the best fit for him.
No. Blake Bortles is my guy. I love Blake Bortles.
I see him just simply for the fact that, one, it's the state of Florida, and two, the Jaguars aren't that good.
He's never going to start over Blake Bortles.
No, I think Bortles should leave there.
I mean, that's fine if you're telling me he's going to go to a better team.
Yeah, Bortles leaves, I think...
But I actually think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win their division this year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Yeah, I think they're... sorry.
I think that's interesting. I don't know. I just don't...
I mean, the only other team that I think they're in contention with are Houston Texans.
I think the Colts will pick it back up.
I think Andrew Luck picks it back up. I don't think the Colts as a team picks it back up, and I don't think they're in contention to win their conference. I think it'll take a couple years for him to come back and really win that conference. And so it's honestly really between Jacksonville and Houston to me. And while Houston has a really good defense and they have DeAndre Hopkins and they picked up Lamar Miller, I believe, I just can't see them beating this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Yeah. So
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, I think Tebow's a joke. The other person that has been talked about going to Denver, and it's been kind of one of those speculation things that nothing is really very solid on it. It's basically one guy said, hey, what if this happened? And a couple other people said, oh, yeah. Drew Brees. He's in a really weird spot in New Orleans right now. At the end of this year, his contract's up, and basically they don't have space for him. They don't have money for him. And it's a really big man. He's probably going to be the best quarterback to hit free agency in a long time. And so they talked about, you know, what if the Saints look at renegotiating his contract right now, but trade him so that renegotiation isn't an issue. But then they go down the road and they say, you know, hey, Broncos, here's a quarterback. If that's the case, the Broncos are going to be great this year because they have a quarterback. I don't think it happens.
No.
But I think that's an interesting scenario because I think, honestly, at the end of this next season, Drew Brees walks away from the Saints because he has told them if they don't make a deal with him by the beginning of this season, he will not negotiate with them during the season, which I think is smart. He's saying during the football season, my focus is football. It is not a contract. So during the year, he's not going to negotiate with them. Then the problem is, as soon as the season's over, he's not talking to him until everybody else can talk to him. And at that point, I don't think he stays with the Saints because the Saints don't have money for him.
Well, the Saints don't have any offense to give him. He doesn't want to play there anyway. They looked atrocious last year. They got rid of Jimmy Graham. The only offensive threat they really have is Mark Ingram, and he keeps getting injured. So
yeah, I think Drew Brees would do well walking away from there. I think the Saints will suffer, but I think the Saints are going to suffer anyway. So
yeah, I mean, they're not going to be a good team for a few years. So,
yeah. I have the Broncos dropping. ESPN agrees with me. They have the Broncos dropping to 7-9 next year. That was their projection.
That's right around where I put them.
Yeah,
especially if they can't pick up one of these bigger name quarterbacks, unless they pick up a Drew Brees. That even with a Tim Tebow, even if they make the biggest mistake and pick up Nick Foles. Yeah. They're not going to do better than like 7-9, maybe 8-8 next year because their defense will still on the win.
They've got a tough schedule ahead of them, too.
Well, that, too. They have a terrible schedule.
Yeah, I just don't see them doing anything. They're going to struggle. They're gonna limp their way out of the season, and nothing's going to happen from it. I think Von Miller's a great player, but he can't do it all. Defensively, he's going to shut teams down. But that's it. I mean, that's all you really can do. So our next topic is teams that we think are going to – we call them our surprise teams, our teams that are going to pop out of nowhere, teams that last year no one really talked about that this year are going to do better, or just in general teams that are going to do better.
Like my surprise team last year was the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm still bragging about it because dang, did they look good.
Yeah, they did. They did well.
I mean, it wasn't for a nobody bad had them preseason going very far. Yeah. And I was like, you better watch out for these Vikings. And then Stephon Diggs, Adrian Peterson, always a huge threat. And yeah. So,
yeah. I think that's the main thing. With Adrian Peterson, he can win you a game any given day.
Right.
So long as the rest of the team is fairly consistent, he will do fine. So my surprise team is the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to do great next year. I think the Raiders will win their division, first of all, because the Broncos are falling apart. I think the Raiders will do well in the playoffs. They get at least one playoff win. But I wouldn't be shocked to see the Raiders in the AFC Championship game.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I essentially see that as the Raiders do well enough throughout the season to get a first-round bye. They win their first round, or they win their first game in the playoffs. They get to the AFC Championship game, and then they lose. We'll talk about later to who I think they lose to. But I think the Raiders are going to be great this year. I think Derek Carr is an amazing quarterback. I think he's going to really grow, and I think this year he's going to look great. He's got a great target in Amari Cooper. It's been said that the Raiders probably have the best talent under 25 years old in the entire league. And I think that's finally coming to bloom. I think we're finally getting a chance to see it. I think Mac is a absolute beast on defense. I think he's going to do great as everything plays on, but I think that as the season goes on, the Raiders are going to come out of nowhere and look completely dominant.
So I have 2 points. One, the only reason I don't think that the Raiders are a surprise team is, one, they were like one step short last year of being this playoff team.
Sure.
And so most experts I'm looking at right now think the Raiders will at least take second in their division and go to the...
Okay.
And that's where I have them. I have the Raiders going second in their division. I don't think they're better than the Chiefs, especially if Jamaal Charles can stay healthy. But I have them sneaking in at the wild card, winning the wild card game, and then probably losing in their second game, maybe sneaking out a win there, but I don't... I definitely don't have them winning the AFC Championship. I don't even know if I'd put them in the AFC Championship.
Okay.
So, that's fair. But I love Latavius Murray. Jared Carr is a beast. Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Great targets that make Derek Carr just look that little bit better. And then, of course, you can't talk Raiders without talking Khalil Mack. Cause,
oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a terror. He'll beat amazing. You off the line every time, and he'll rush your quarterback. And as a Rams fan, where all of my O-line is very young, I am so scared of Khalil Mack just smashing Jared Goff and just ruining his day. So I'm a huge fan of the Raiders, but I don't think this year they're better than the Chiefs. Next year, I think they win their division and they could go to the AFC Championship. But this year, I think they're still that one step short of being that going far in the playoffs team.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fair. I think it's really funny. Right now, I was checking out. There's a part of me that is always surprised that Janikowski is still kicking for the Raiders. I swear he's been kicking for him for like 20 years.
It's pretty close.
Every single year I look at him and I'm like, this is probably his last year. He's like 70, isn't he? But I mean, I guess he's not that old. He's 40. He's 38 right now.
Well, I mean, kickers are the one like position in football that can last forever. I mean, look at Adam Vinatieri. I'm pretty sure he's been kicking for 21 years. Yeah. Has like the most won Super Bowls right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not super surprised to see Janikowski is still in the league. But, yeah, he's one of those names that you're like, oh, yeah, he is still playing.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I think it's crazy because Janikowski, he was a kicker that was taken in the first round of the 2000 draft. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like, you don't take kickers in like the first three rounds. So the fact that they took a kicker in the first round is crazy, and they've done well with it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I look at it and I'm fine with them taking that pick, because if you're telling me for 16 years you're going to have one of the best kickers in the NFL, go with it. Be fine with it. It's a perfect deal, because, I mean, he's basically been the only consistently good player on the Raiders over the past 16 years. He's been the only thing that's been even kind of consistent for the Raiders over the past 16 years.
Yeah, he's the reason they would put up like 9 points a game.
Yeah.
It's because he would kick 3 field goals because they could get into field goal range because their defense would make a stop or whatever. But my surprise team is actually Atlanta. And so, like I said earlier, I'm really high on Atlanta. And the only reason I don't have them winning their division is they're in a division with the Carolina Panthers. And so I have them, again, taking that wild card spot. But Devonta Freeman is one of the best running backs in the league right now. I would not be surprised at the end of next year if he's in the top 2 running backs next year. At least I don't see any way he's not in the top 5.
Right.
One of my biggest mistakes in fantasy football last year was
one of many
was getting rid of Devonta Freeman for some stupid trade that I can't remember, and then he would consistently score touchdowns. And so you have Julio Jones, who's always a deep threat, you give him the ball and he could score any play of the game. Matt Ryan isn't a flashy player, he isn't one of the best players in the league, but he's a smart player and I think he can lead his team. So I have them going wild card just behind the Panthers, probably at 9-7, maybe 10-6. I can't remember their schedule. But I have them going far. I have them winning the wild card. I have them winning the second round. And then who did I have them losing to? Sorry, 1 second.
That's fine. I don't know. I feel like the Falcons will do well. I don't have any issue with the Falcons. I don't know. They'll do okay. They won't do poorly. I just don't really maybe see it as a surprise. I guess last year they didn't do great, but I don't know. I don't think that I'm not surprised by it. I'm not surprised by the fact that they're going to do well. More just because they're consistently good. I guess last year they went 8-8. They're a 500 team. I think they'll go well over that, but...
Right.
So
here's my thing with Atlanta. They started out the season last year 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up going 2-7 in their last 9 games. However, 6 of those, they lost by less than a TD, and 5 of those, they lost by less than 4 points.
Okay.
And they were the only team in the regular season last year to be able to beat the Panthers. You can tell me it's a fluke or whatever. I don't think it was. I think Atlanta was a very good team last year that was always just... one play away from winning the game and looking really good. And I think this year, they'll have it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason they beat the Panthers is because I think the Panthers came in saying, oh, we're this undefeated team, we're this great, and the Falcons, da da da. And I think the thing is the Falcons were really good. They just had a couple of close losses. One of the things that – the first thing I thought of was 2011, the Utah State Aggies. They did not – like, they were a 6-win team, but most of them were losses by less than a touchdown. What happened the next year when they kept that same core? They went 11-2.
Right.
And I think the same thing is going to happen with the Falcons. You have a year where you're a 500-level team, a lot of close losses, and all that does is open the door to having a very successful season the next year. And I think the Falcons will do well. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Okay, so I figured it out. So I don't exactly know how the playoffs, but I don't have them beating the Packers, the Panthers, or honestly, people are super high on the Cardinals. I think Carson Palmer is going to go even worse next year. So the Seahawks next year. Those are the three teams I think will beat them in the playoffs. But until they play one of those teams, they're not going to lose.
Yeah. I think one of the things is NFL quarterbacks don't just – go downhill, they fall off a cliff. I think Carson Palmer's about there.
He's on the edge of the cliff and it's looking down.
Yeah, if he's not already
falling, because at the end of the last year he looked terrible.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
The only reason they won games was on the back of Larry Fitzgerald and their running back.
So you're telling me? Oh, but their backup running back Kerwin Williams, right?
Of course, Kerwin Williams.
Yeah, Kerwin Williams, the guy who scored 1 touchdown last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Not David Johnson, the one that scored him a bunch of touchdowns.
Kerwin was the difference maker. I met Kerwin Williams once. I'm very proud of myself on that one.
Wow.
Nice guy. Took a picture with him after we won a bowl game, the Boise, when we won it in the Potato Bowl after that 2012 season. Great. Right. Great picture. Didn't really talk to him. I'm assuming he's a he's an awesome guy. So, our next topic, we didn't talk about where we were going to put everyone here. We kind of just talked about the topics, and we kind of came to a consensus on this one. We did our Super Bowl projections. Now, while it's a little bit different, overall, we're going around the same point. So, my Super Bowl, I have the New England Patriots against the Green Bay Packers. My favorite team against my least favorite team. And I bet you can't guess who I have winning it. I have the Packers.
Oh, okay.
Because I think, honestly, the Packers are going to be great. With the return of Jordy, the Packers are going to be super strong. I think they haven't really lost too much. Their secondary is super underrated. I think they have the potential to have one of the best secondaries, if not the best secondary, next season. And I don't feel like it gets as much attention on it as could. Yeah, centers gets good amount of attention, but I think that when people think great secondaries, they don't immediately think Packers. I think they'll do well, though.
I always think, haha, Clinton Dix.
Wait, what did you just say?
My favorite name of all time, haha, Clinton Dix. Real name. I'm almost positive he didn't change it to that, like world peace. That's his real God-given name, haha, Clinton Dix.
What a great name. He's the free safety for him. Yeah, I think they're going to do really well. I think the Packers are going to line up and look great. One of the things that really leans in their benefit, their schedule is pretty easy for this upcoming season. They said that if the Packers, you know, don't have a killer year, schedule-wise, mostly, it was a big disappointment. I think the Packers should get a first-round bye based on where everything's sitting, and I think they definitely will.
Yeah, so my Super Bowl prediction is I actually have the Green Bay Packers playing the LA Pittsburgh Rams.
Oh.
Pittsburgh Steelers. No, yeah. Oh, yeah, my LA Rams. No. Playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. And I also have Green Bay winning that game.
Yeah.
And I just, they're so stacked on offense when they have Jordy Nelson. They have Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. Davante Adams is just a terror. He looked pretty good last year and is going to tear it up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Eddie Lacy and even their backup, James Starks, is a good running back.
I mean, so one thing that I think Eddie Lacy last season, at the end of the season, was kind of criticized by their coach about, you know, he said, you know, he was out of shape. He wasn't in good shape. From what rumors coming out of Green Bay are, Eddie Lacy took that pretty personally and said, oh, I'm not in shape. Oh, I'll show you in shape. And he is doing really well. He's apparently put up some great numbers. I think he's going to really look great this year. I think their running attack is going to be extremely dangerous. And that's the thing with the Packers. If you try and stop the run, Aaron Rodgers will destroy you. If you try and stop Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy will do just as much damage.
Well, even Aaron Rodgers, if you try and put pressure on him, there's only a few other quarterbacks they can move in the pocket like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, when you watch him, it looks like he does it without any effort. Like, he's just like, oh, is there someone coming to my right? I'm just going to sidestep and, oh, hit Jordy Nelson for another touchdown. Cool.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, yeah, I think it's a great deal. Really, the only problem I see with the Packers, and it's a pretty minor problem right now, is that tight end-wise, it's not a super strong tight end. Yeah, Rodgers has been a good tight end, but he hasn't really done what you really hope for a big tight end. That's the main thing. They've had good tight ends. They haven't had great tight ends.
I mean, one, Richard Rodgers are pretty good, but two, they picked up my favorite tight end, Jared Cook from the LA Rams, who low-key was one of the best tight ends last year. No, he wasn't on the level of like Gronk or Jimmy Graham 2 years ago.
Well, but that's tough to be that level.
Right. But, like, in terms of, like, the average tight end, he was on the top end.
Yeah.
I would put him, like, fourth or fifth overall in tight ends.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about why we – I think we're both doing a really good job of agreeing with each other, which is pretty rare. Let's talk about why we picked the Patriots and the Steelers. My thing is Tom Brady has – as much as I hate the Patriots, and I can't emphasize that enough, I hate the Patriots. Tom Brady and the Patriots do a great job every single season after there's been punishment. If you look at years when they've had a scandal and they've been punished for it, the following season they do amazing. I think Deflategate was not quite as much, but I think there was a lot of still stuff going on with Deflategate last season. That's why they didn't do quite as well last season. But I really think that Tom Brady's going to come out. He's going to take it personally. He's going to come out and say, yeah, I know we lost our first two of the first four. Because,
yeah, that's where I have they'll lose.
And I think it will kind of create an underrated factor for the Patriots, which is I think is really dangerous. And then I think they're going to absolutely do amazing. I think they're going to do really well. I hate them. I hate them so much. I have them beating the Raiders in the AFC Championship, which hurts me so much, because that's when the Tuck rule came into play, was Raiders versus Patriots, back in like 2002 or 2003,
right?
Which was the first Tom Brady scandal, and I think it's just gonna keep going. I think Tom Brady's gonna do great. Honestly, I think the Steelers are a good team. I just don't think they're that good.
And that's where you're wrong, buddy. There's no way the Patriots don't win their division, but that's only because they have the Jets and the Dolphins. The biggest threat is honestly the Buffalo Bills with Tyrod Taylor, and they're going to be disappointing this year. They'll probably actually go 8-8 again this year, honestly, looking at the Buffalo Bills, and I don't think Fitzgerald's going to pay off for the Jets, and they're going to look bad too. However, I have the New England Patriots losing to the Steelers in the AFC Championship.
Okay. I guess that's understandable. I think I could see the Patriots and the Steelers both getting to the AFC Championship. I just don't see the Patriots losing there.
My thing
is the Pittsburgh's in a tough division. I mean, look at who that fourth team in the division is.
Cleveland.
Oh my gosh, they are going to, man, Robert Griffin III, he's been a legacy recently. The Browns have so much history. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that LeBron signs up as the running back. I think the Browns win the Super Bowl next year. Okay, please don't quote me on that.
The funny thing is, I've been doing a lot of research this week of what other people are predicting. And for the Cleveland Browns, it's the most diverse I've ever seen. Because there's like three experts just at CBS Sports that are like, they're going 0-16. They don't win a single game next year. And then there's like three other experts just at CBS Sports who are like, Cleveland Browns are going to the playoffs, man. Like, I think RG3 will have a better year than he has in the past few years. I think he'll have a resurgence and be closer to that quarterback that earned that first round pick. But I don't think they're a threat. The Ravens will do better than they have in past years, but they won't take the spot from them. Cincy Bengals, I love them. I love me some Andy Dalton and the Red Rocket, but they won't do as well as last year. Pittsburgh Steelers win the division, and they're going to be unstoppable in the playoffs next year until they meet the Green Bay Packers. Here's the thing with the Steelers. Behind the Green Bay Packers, they are the most stacked offense. They still have Ben Roethlisberger. No matter how old he is very good as long as he is not injured. Okay. He will hit Antonio Brown, who if you even hit him 1 yard past the line, he'll run it for 99 yards.
Okay.
I mean, you have Le'Veon Bell once he comes back, probably from another suspension. He will do well. He's really good. Their defense is really good. And so, yeah, I think the New England Patriots-Pittsburgh game in the AFC Championship will be a shootout. But in the end, I think the Steelers' defense is actually going to swing that matchup. I think they'll both have a pretty close shootout where they're both going and getting touchdowns. Steelers' defense will make a stop and game over.
So, has Brown signed a contract yet? Because last I heard, he hasn't. And I'm not saying that he won't. I'm not saying he's going to leave the Steelers. But I'd be really concerned to see what happens contract-wise there. Because I know he's been quoted talking about how, you know, if somebody underperforms, you get rid of him. If somebody overperforms, you take care of him. And he feels like the Steelers aren't taking care of him.
I don't think he leaves. I think he wants more money. But I think at the end of the day, he stays with the Steelers. That's where, you know, he's played for the past 6 years and has been really good. And I think that's where he's made his legacy. And I don't think he leaves for a couple more million. So if Antonio Brown somehow breaks my heart and leaves the Steelers will not do well next year. Le'Veon Bell is not enough to take him that far. Yes, Martavis Bryant is a beast. But without Antonio Brown, they aren't a Super Bowl team.
Okay, but let's both... Now, we've talked about who we have losing in the Super Bowl. We've talked about who we have winning. I want to just make sure we both have this understood. The Packers will win the Super Bowl. We both agree that my favorite team will win the Super Bowl this year.
Are they your favorite team? Yes. Because 4 weeks ago we had the discussion and you didn't
and
know.
I said I would come back and make my official announcement. This is the decision. This is like LeBron taking his talents to Miami. This is like Durant picking the Warriors, and I have made my decision. The Green Bay Packers are my favorite NFL team. There are pictures of me when I was a little kid wearing Brett Favre's jersey. This isn't a bandwagon thing. It's been my whole life.
I wasn't going to accuse you of a bandwagon. I just think it's hilarious that every team we talk about, you're like, oh, yeah, I like them too. And you're like, okay, well, you hate the Patriots, and then you like about 29 yeah. other teams.
But there's a difference between liking a team and being a fan of that team. Like, for example, I like the Seahawks. I have no issue with the Seahawks doing well. I don't follow the Seahawks. I don't really care to watch Seahawks games unless it's an it's a big game. But, like, I don't sit there and go, like, man, I really will just keep up on Seahawks news. I keep up on the Raiders, on the Niners, and on the Packers.
Okay.
That's all I really do.
Fair enough. I will have this recorded, so anytime you try and argue this, I'll just play the clip, and I'll have it for Landon and Thomas because I know they want this.
Yeah. I think Landon and Thomas, our good friends, will agree that the Packers are my favorite team.
No.
There's never been a debate about it.
We debate about once a week. But that's going to wrap up our show. So always, as always, follow us at @competitiveUSU on Twitter. Yeah, check us out next week at Tuesday at 5. And
we're on our way out. Thank you so much. I think we're going to have a great discussion next week. The Olympics will have started. There'll be a little bit more college football news. And
we might be doing our fantasy football show next week.
That would be a fun one.
Keep tuned into our Twitter and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But thanks for tuning in.